power in that name. No other name.
No other name.
As you're returning to your seats, I sensed in my spirit this morning, and I share it with Debbie, and I think with Pastor TJ as well, and I didn't know how the window would open, but as we finished in the earlier part, I could sense that there's some people that are watching, and some may be your children, and it may perhaps just be you. When we were here last, we went into Shushangavi, an area. We went Mamelodi, Shushangavi, but when we got to Shushangavi in the house, we were invited to a church, and they didn't tell me, you know, much about what the meeting is, just come and bring the word. And when we were back in the pastor's lounge and they were miking me up, they came in and said, the police in this area have taken like paddy wagons and gone throughout the streets and sweeped up all these addicts that are on, I think you call it Nairobi, which is made of battery at water and chemicals cleaning projects and supplies and made out of rat poison and cable wire and cut glass and a whole host of things. And they smoke it, and I think here they call it tick or something. And it's a very cheap man-made drug. And so I said, so where are the people? And they said, on the other side of this wall. So I said, you mean the whole entire church? They've cleaned all the streets and brought them in here. I said, could I have a moment alone? And I said, Father, if you have ever anointed me in a specific area, I am asking you, Daddy, anoint me for what your people need. For you promise in your word that the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. And every last one of those people on the other side of this wall, which I am yet to see, is some mother's child or some mother's son, or once someone's husband or someone's wife or niece or nephew. And so I said, God, I decrease that you may increase in my life, that you may be lifted up, because your word declares that when you are lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. And we just got through singing that there is no other name. And the Bible reveals that there is no other name whereby man can be saved. And for those that are watching, you've tried everything. But what you haven't tried, and I never say try Jesus, you've never received him, because you don't have to try him. Because once you receive him, he's the real thing. Somebody say the real thing. So as they opened up the door and I went out, and sure enough, the church was completely jam-packed with addicts that looked like people, zombies from the Thriller movie, literally, because they came in like this. And they said that the chemicals from the drug have them burnt up on the inside, and their skins look like chemical burns, and they don't have eat, they don't have an appetite. They're still from their mothers. And I thought, how wicked is Satan to allure people after that first high and then entrap him? You see, my friend, in life, whatever you compromise going up, you have to maintain, and you compromise and see the very same thing going down. It's an entrapment. And so as I began to minister the word, and I said, Lord, give me a word. And I talked about how simple, a very simple word, that God said, his burden is easy and his yoke is light. And you may not be one that's battling with a type of addiction like Nairobi or whatever they call it, with the battery water and the rat poison and the chemicals. But you are having still a challenge with a yoke of self, a yoke of self-confidence, a yoke of fear, a yoke of anxiety, a yoke of unforgiveness. It doesn't matter what your yoke is or what your burden is. There's one person that has the solution for it all, and his name is Jesus. You see, he knows what you have need of even before you ask. He not only knows your thoughts from afar, but every step you make, he already knows it. And this very same Jesus that we're speaking of, when I shared with them that I use my backpack and I put a backpack on, and I begin to take the backpack like it was so heavy, and you got this thing on your back and you can't get it off, and it's got you yoked over, and you've tried everything to get that yoke off of you, to get that thing off of you, and the only thing that can get it off of you is Jesus. And I said,
I stood up in the chair, and I mean, the church was packed, and I said, I came for you. I came for you. And I said, and I believe in you, and I'm saying this to you now. And you may think that there's no other way, and you may think that there's no other way out and no hope, but as we just got through singing, there's no other name, but there's no other way either but Jesus. And I said, I'm gonna reach out with my hand, and I turned my back a bit like this, and I reached my hands back like this, and they were all around, and I said, and if you want to come out of the life that you've been yoked in, the same way I slung off the backpack, slung it across the church, he's the only one with the power to take that burden and that yoke off of you. You can't take it off yourself, because if you could take it off yourself, you would have done it. And you know what? You keep going back to that bottle, and you keep going back to that drug, and you keep going back to that woman that's not your wife, and you keep going back for a fulfillment and a feeling and a void to feel that only he can feel. And everything you're looking for, you know it's not in the bottom of the bottle. You know it's not in that next hit, because all it does is keep driving you again and again and again. And I said, if you're tired of that and you want to come out, he has made a way for you. And I took my hands like this, and normally I wouldn't close my eyes and pray in a situation like this, but I closed my eyes, and I took my hands back like this, both hands, and I said, and come and follow me as I follow Christ. And I took my hands back like this, and I said, anybody want to follow me? I stepped down out the chair. I said, on the count of three, follow me. And then the entire mass of people started stampeding around me and grabbing onto me and holding me and holding my hand and pulling me here and pulling me there and just holding on like for dear life. And I said, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. I'm here for you. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. I'll wait on you. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. He sent me here for you. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Somebody prayed for you. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And the pastor said it's so bad that to even be able to keep them in the auditorium long enough for us to arrive, that they had to allow them to go out back and take another hit. And I said, you don't have to do that again. With Jesus, they will never take another hit. So as they came all, and I led them up to the altar, and they all gave their life to Jesus, and we broke the power of the yoke of bondage and the strongholds over them, like I'm speaking to you right now. The stronghold and the bondages, the patterns that your life has set for you. You want something different. You know you want something different. You've tried things like going to school online, getting another degree, buying another house, getting another car, and there's something inside of you that's crying out for more. Your yoke and your bondage may not be that of those in Shushan Gavi, but you know you desire to be free. As we prayed for every person, I turned to the church and I said, do you have a place for them to go? Because if you don't have a place for them to go and we just leave them, and I begin to realize the church really isn't ready for the harvest. We sing about the harvest, we talk about the harvest, but if we're really ready for the harvest, Lester Summerall taught us before he left, Isaiah 2:2, he says, this is the greatest age of the harvest. They will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and all nations will flood into this, for the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established upon the hill, and they will say, oh, come and let us go into the house of the Lord, for there they will teach us of his ways, for the law of the Lord will go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. And he said, prepare for the harvest. And I was telling Pastor Jenny that before Billy Joe Daugherty died, I was the last one to speak at the church when he went away for this last treatment. And on his desk was John 4th chapter, and he was making notes, prepare for the harvest. Prepare for the harvest. I remember in one of our last board meetings with T.L. Osmond before he died, he said, the time will come when pastors will no longer have a passion for souls. And people will no longer, individual believers will no longer have a pant and a heart for lost souls, for perishing souls. He says they'll be caught up with itching ears and propping up each other's images. And my dear Patricia, don't allow yourself to get caught into the caught and sucked up into the vacuum of propping up each other's images. Keep your eyes on the harvest, Patricia. And I'm here right now because my eyes are on you. And you, my friend, you are the harvest. You are the harvest. You're the harvest. You know why you're the harvest? Because you cost the Father God the blood of Jesus. You are the harvest because he was not willing that any should perish. You are the harvest that he was not even willing to withhold his own son, that he freely gave him so that you could have all things. You're the harvest because he wants you to be the apple of his eye. You're the harvest because he pants for you. You're the harvest because he doesn't want to see you suffer. And he hears your pain. He knows your thoughts. He's heard your sorrow. And just like we heard earlier, he's coming down right now through this broadcast to deliver you. And after we prayed, we snatched the ones that you could tell were at the point of death. And the center, this drug rehabilitation center, said, "We only have so many beds." And I said, they turned everything over to the pastor, and I said, "This one here, and then this one, and this one." Some of them couldn't even stand up. They had to put chairs down because they couldn't even stand. And I said, "You have to get them somewhere right away, someone to monitor them, because it's one thing to be delivered, but when a house has been swept, if that person is not filled with the word of God to get the word in them, there'll be seven more spirits and the person will be in a worse state than they were even before the beginning." So I was like, you can't have these kind of meetings unless you're really ready for the harvest. Well, thank God, here at Faith Broadcast, they've got callers down at the center. They got Bibles to send you. They got a church you can come to. They are ready for the harvest. They're ready for the harvest in Washington, D.C. They're ready for the harvest in Philadelphia. They're ready for the harvest in U.K. They're ready for the harvest. They're ready for the harvest right here at the river, and they're ready for the harvest. They're ready for you. As I began to go into the back after the service was just about to be dismissed and they were ready to load up the people and take the ones to the center, I heard one say, "Patricia, Patricia." And Val said, "Doc, he's calling your name." I said, "Val, we in Shushangavi, and you know, South Africans love their names, and why would they take a Irish name, Patricia? Oh, no, Val is not calling my name." And he said, "Patricia." And his head down, and he looked up like this, "Patricia." And Val said, "He's calling your name." And I turned to him, and I said, "Excuse me, my friend, my mother's name was Patricia." And I thought, sure. And he took his shirt, and he unbuttoned it and opened up his shirt, and tattooed over his heart was the name Patricia. And he said, "I hoped that somehow my mama was locked. I was locked up in jail when my mama died, and I couldn't go to my mother's funeral, and I've never been able to bring closure. And my mother was everything that I loved, and I just thought if I could just have my mother again, that she could help me. And I was hoping somehow, and when I heard your name was Patricia, they said somebody named Patricia was coming." He said, "I was high and I found my way here, and I was hoping that just like my mother, somebody could help me." And he said, "Will you be my mother?" And I grabbed him and I put him into my chest and I just held him and I said, "I decree in the name of Jesus that your days of struggle are over. Your days of bondage are over. Your days of suffering are over. I take authority over every foul spirit that has held you captive. And I stand in proxy for your mother right now. And I decree in the name of Jesus, just like you're my own son, I rebuke the power of darkness over your life and every foul spirit. I command you to go in the name of Jesus and loose the man." It's done. That belongs to someone's mother who's no doubt still watching over as a cloud of witnesses standing for her son. And there may be a mother tonight that was just like him, that cried out for her son. And in this case, she died before she saw his deliverance. But you as a mother, you're still alive. And you've got a son, you've got a daughter. You've got one that's been questioning their sexuality. You've got one that's saying they don't want to go to church anymore. And you got one that's returned rebellious. And we're here for you too, mother. And not just the mother, but every single person that's listening under the sound of my voice. All of this has been packaged just for you. And if you would be willing right now to take that very next step, and not just those that are viewing, but anybody that's here in the meeting here tonight in the auditorium, he's the same Jesus. He's the same Jesus that's here to deliver. And I'm so excited about what's about to happen in your life, because you know what? The enemy didn't even want you to pay attention this long. And you started flipping through the channel, and somehow or another you found yourself here and you just got stuck here. And God allowed you to land your plane right here for such a time as this. That's how great his love is for you. And that's how much he has a plan and a way of escape for you. And so there's only one thing left. This is what he did. He's such a loving father that he never wanted salvation to be based on dogma and doctrine and tradition and cleaning yourself up, because you never, ever, ever clean a fish before you catch it. You have to catch the fish first and then you clean it. So you've been trying to clean yourself up and get yourself together, and you take one step forward and three steps back, and you put this habit down and you pick up another. But God says, I made men, these pastors, we are fishers of men, to come and catch you and to help you to understand you don't have to clean yourself up. This is what he's done. He sent his son to be everything that you need, and everything that you can't do, he comes and he steps down on the inside of you, and he becomes your strength, and he becomes your forgiveness, and he becomes your righteousness, and he becomes your hopes, he becomes your dreams, and he takes away fear, and he takes away pain, and he takes away unforgiveness, and he says, I'm not going to make this predicated upon your power and your strength, lest you be able to boast or you wouldn't be able to prop yourself up, but I'm going to send my son in place of you. And in Bible school, they told us it's called the substitutionary sacrifice. But all it means is he died for you so that you don't have to live in bondage. Shout amen in this place tonight. And so because he's done it all, and he held, he was stretched out on a cross, and the Bible says he was whipped, and he was beaten, and he was nailed so that you could be free. And in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to repeat with me. Say this. Say, Father God, I need you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And you know what? Thank you, Holy Ghost. There may be some here that want to come. And God is so sensitive, and the Holy Spirit is so sensitive, that he doesn't want to leave you out. And so if you're here, and maybe this is your first time here at the river, maybe someone invited you. My friend, we're coming to you, but guess what? We want them to get the same thing that you're going to get. And if you're here tonight and you want to come out of where you are and you want a better life and you want things to turn around, we extend the same to you. As Pastor Andre comes and we pray, we decree in the name of Jesus that your life is about to be turned around. Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree. Say this with me. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died and rose again for my life, my weakness, my sin. Lord Jesus, I make a decision right now to accept you, receive you in my heart and in my life. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me and delivering me, and according to your word, I am now born again. Now lift your hands and give the Lord some thanksgiving and praise.